This is episode 375 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of July 27th through August 2nd, 2024. What's new this week? Ephronautum Volume 3 with important note from ephronautum.noblogs.org. Continues to be odd to me that the information given to Anarchist News for this publication is all about logistics of publishing instead of, for example, content from the publication itself. Maybe a new take on announcements, I think, or something. Anyway, here's one of the opening paragraphs for this issue's editorial. Quote, "We had revised this some 10 times while trying to keep it compact, and still it was not enough to capture the evolving tire fires of humanity's thrashing pangs. Listing off headlines is more nauseating than one can imagine. That's all that reality is now. Everything from afar, everything from institutional word of mouth. Something could be going on right outside your door, and the world would only know it as a headline. Your real lived experience is made lower than the lice. This is what people vote, humiliate, and exhaust themselves to maintain. Just to be lice of the earth." Unquote. Aside from the disrespect for lice, yeah, hard to argue with that, this publication continues to get the thumbs up from me, even with the simplistic cartoons of muscular punks threatening fragile cops. There's plenty of nuance in the texts. That was Ephronautum 3, and the important note is about a minor change in their frequency.
The important note was part of the title?
Yes.
Oh.
See, with important.
So then you had to explain why they had an important note in the title that you didn't mention.
But I thought that it might be nice.
Because people would be waiting for an important note.
Or, yeah. Everybody's just waiting for me to bring it all home for
them. But what happened about the note?
What about the note?
James C. Scott, 1936 to 2024. From Freedom News UK by James Birmingham. Maybe this should go in obituaries, but here we are. And maybe we don't need two announcements about the death of this anthropologist who never claimed anarchism, but again, we're still here. First, Birmingham defends Scott's position in some kind of anarchist constellation, claiming that Scott's CIA activity was something he regretted, which is feasible, regardless of what purists and nons have argued, but more to the point, I think, if anarchists can't learn from non-anarchists, then we're even more doomed than I thought. The real benefit to me from this article, however, is the information that Scott was partnered with Anat Singh, which is definitely to his credit. Not that any of this matters, of course. What is the point of celebrity again? Here is the almost there paragraph of this obituary, though. Quote, "Scott decided that in order to call himself a peasantist, he needed to actually engage in ethnographic fieldwork, a move his fellow political scientists thought was career suicide at worst and a waste of time at best. He spent 14 months in a village in Malaysia, which became the backbone research for Weapons of the Week. This work caught the attention of anthropologists such as Clifford Geertz and Benedict Anderson. A political scientist using ethnography in their methodology was all but unheard of at the time. The book was also criticized by Edward Said, who thought that exposing and analyzing the hidden strategies of the subaltern undermined their ability to resist. This opens up a larger question about the nature of radical scholarship itself. When we dissect and make legible the mechanisms and tactics of resistance and rebellion, do we temper their potential? Do we get in our own way with our research?" Unquote. Yeah. Maybe think about that for a bit. That was the boringly titled James C. Scott.
The Accidental Anarchist, Laurent Cassas, from the Transmetropolitan Review. Transmetropolitan Review author goes back to writing strictly about history, which, given his tendency to lie about current events, is all to the best. This text is a long history of Attentats in Europe during the time of Ravachol through the lens of a few workers, It contextualizes some of the legendary anarchist bombers and circles back around to position people and events in relation to each other, which is helpful for those of us who are not history buffs. There's also a thread about Gnosticism here to cater to the spiritually inclined anarchist tendency today, though it's opaque where that information about Mary Magdalene, for example, etc., is coming from, so it's uncheckable. There are lots of links to anarchists and publications, though. TMR is always good for a story, and we've learned by now not to bet on its verifiability. That was the accidental anarchist, Laurent Cassaz, a.k.a. Lawrence Cass.
Malatesta's Anarchist Views of Elections and Democracy. From Anon by Wayne Price. Price here does a service by naming and explaining some modern books about Malatesta's life and writing. Then he goes into his understanding of Malatesta's, quote, major emphasis on topics relating to democracy, republicanism, voting, and elections. That is what I will emphasize in this review, plus a little on Malatesta's views on the origins of anarchism and its relation to Marxism, unquote. Given that Price has promoted to anarchists the Ukrainian state as a valid means of self-defense, I'm wary of accepting his analysis of much of anything. If we want to know what Malatesta thought, we can, of course, read him directly. But there's probably some good information in here that my knee-jerk reaction is dismissive of. There we are.
Belfast Anarchist Studies Network Conference Program Announced from Anarchism Studies Network. Announcement of and program for this event. The program is organized into streams, one of which is organizing in contradiction, another is pacifism and violence, a third is history as a battlefield. There is a challenge to the consensus as default process that I think I attended just by reading the description. Some of the workshops sound interesting, but the speakers include folks like Nathan June and Scott Campbell, so now we know.
Cosmic Anarchy and the Law of Increasing Complexity, from The Commoner UK by Simone Magsalen. Meh. On the one hand, it's cool that people are paying attention to cosmic questions and pondering meta-threads. On the other hand, it's predictable that people focusing on science say things like, quote, life became sapient, dash humanity, unquote. Or emphasize how humans are unique and special beyond all other life forms. Sapient means wise or self-aware, by the way. So associating that only with humans is clearly delusional. Anyway, this is worth reading in the way that big questions are worth being reminded of, as are the reasons we don't read Murray Bookchin. Yank those big ideas out of the boxes that science attempts to keep them in. That was Cosmic Anarchy and the Law. I'm not reading LOL.
Franz Duval, 1948-2024. From anarchist writers at anarchism.pageabode.com. Okay, right. These pieces haven't been in the obit section because they're about the way that they are relevant to anarchists more than notice that someone has died. Maybe a subtle difference, but it makes sense to me. Moving on. This is the announcement that this primatologist and ethnologist has passed and why anarchists would care about his work. Quote, unusually, Duval was well aware of Kropotkin's work and mentioned it in his writings, noting repeatedly how Kropotkin rightly noted that many animals survive not through struggle, but through mutual aid. With Jessica C. Flack, he argued that Kropotkin is part of a wider tradition in which the view has been that animals assist each other precisely because by doing so they achieve long-term collective benefits of greater value than the short-term benefits derived from straightforward competition. Kropotkin specifically adhered to a view in which organisms struggle not necessarily against each other, but collectively against their environments. They summarize that the basic tenet of Kropotkin's ideas was on the mark, unquote. Also, quote, the fact is that science is pursued by scientists who are products of a given society and all too often reflects its cultural assumptions. Duval recounted how euphemisms for friendly, cooperative, or altruistic behavior are often utilized as using those terms is considered overly anthropomorphic, whereas terms related to aggression, violence, and competition never posed the slightest problem. He notes that he was expected to switch to dehumanized language as soon as the affectionate aftermath of a fight was the issue, rather than the fight itself. Unquote. That was Franz de Waal, not an anarchist, but anarchist relevant.
Cypress Hartford released from federal subpoena from Anon. A note to supporters from Hartford that they are no longer under threat of appearing to a grand jury. At least no more than any of us are at any time. Always nice when people let us know that circumstances have changed.
Toronto announcing the 2024 ACAB BQ August 11 from ACABBQ at noblogs.org. Quote, we are very excited to officially announce the ACAB BQ 2024. The first iteration of this event will be held on August 11th, 2024 from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Dufferin Grove Park, Toronto, Ontario. It is a summer barbecue for anarchists in Toronto, Ontario, and beyond. Everyone is welcome to come together, enjoy some free food, read some radical lit, and share ideas. Toronto needs a flourishing anarchist scene, and we hope to rekindle the destruction of hierarchy in this city overrun with liberals. Whether you are an anarchist, anarcho-curious, left-leaning, or sympathetic, there is a place for you here. Unquote. CJ the X lives there now. If you see them, say hi. Or just wave discreetly. Maybe just leave them alone. Goddamn parasocial relationships, shit. Anyway, good luck with anarchy in Toronto, people.
Anarchists in the Labor Movement number 2 from Black Rose Federation. 2 talks with nurses. Comments in the thread are sparse but meaningful. Do we go for effective reform that doesn't change anything fundamental? Or do we have big dreams that seem impossible to implement and seem to keep our hands clean? Is it a false binary? Is it?
Obituaries.
Vavatsikos.
Thank you. For Nikos Vavatsikos from Athens Indie Media. A dog person and long-term exarchia presence and defender has died. Quote, living for years outside the system, squatting for years, working independently, with a tremendous love for the mountains and the seas and much more, I will certainly say that what characterized Nico was not a worker's identity, as he was never a worker, although he was always there for those from below, as one of them, providing what anyone might need. Nevertheless, since he often had a hard time getting by, like most people around us, he was forced to take an extra job, in my opinion, foreign to his temperament, that of an elevator maintenance assistant. Whether he had to keep operating the elevator while not having a maintenance certification and many other details will be decided by the stairs and the experts. For us, the truth is one. Nikos was killed in an elevator that he and his boss were maintaining and is another industrial accident that adds to the pile of industrial accidents that occur every year in Greece, mainly due to failure to observe the necessary safety rules and not using the necessary protective equipment. Unquote. Fuck.
All the moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life, they're free. Stars belong to everyone. They claim that for you and for me. Flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sunbeams that shine, they're yours and they're mine. Love can come to everyone. The best things in life, they're free.
Hello, this is Chichi.
And Donnie fucking don't.
And the topic of the week is free stuff, and it was posted on July 29.
Freedom is cool, but free stuff is also really cool. Sometimes anarchists focus on the latter, like when CrimeThink put out Days of War, Nights of Love, and Evasion. For less tangible stuff, anarchists have said a few things about computer and internet stuff like free software, open source, and the likes. However, a lot of these ideas seem like antiques now. CrimeThink later decided that their time focusing on these things had come to an end. The free software movement has lost the magical aura it once had. Some of the best free resources around, LibGen, Sci-Hub, Buy Nothing Project, etc., they don't have much in the way of anarchist messaging, and anarchists don't often refer to them as examples of anarchist practice. But that doesn't mean we aren't accessing these resources all the time. So this week, let's share the wealth of free stuff we love. Go on now, Tell us about your favorite resources, tactics, whatever you think it makes sense to talk about. What do you think it makes sense to talk about?
A few things, but before we start, you are familiar with both Days of War and Invasion, right?
Yes.
Would you like to... I'm not.
So okay.
Would you like to give like a small summary?
Sure. Days of War, Nights of Love was a compilation of CrimeThink articles from the 2000s that they put out in 2000, I believe. And it's an ABCs of Anarchy, basically with a very situationist bent and some, I would say, like anti-civ thinking. Kind of anti-organizationalist, sort of. But yeah, a lot of focus on liberating our time.
Mm-hmm.
On less alienated types of labor. So a huge focus on DIY stuff where we're making the things we need to live. Or at least getting those things in like rewarding and collective ways. A lot of it, I think, was modeled on European anarchist practices of squatting.
Mm-hmm.
But also we acknowledged, folks acknowledged later, I think, that the premise of doing this in a country without really, like, welfare or robust food stamps and, like, extremely hostile squatting laws was kind of like a maniac's mission.
Okay, and this was Days of War.
Yes.
And what is Evasion about?
So Evasion is a first-person zine, kind of like what we call now a travel zine, about an individual who decides he does not want to go to school and he does not want to go into work. And he picks a third option, which is hitchhiking, freight hopping, shoplifting, running return scams, dumpster diving, breaking and entering, and frankly, larceny, living on abandoned houseboats, sleeping on rooftops, so on and so forth. Yeah.
Interesting. I assume that the other two texts that are mentioned that has more to do with the open sources and this, I assume you don't know them as well.
I have not read them.
Yeah, me neither. So yeah, too bad I didn't read them before, but I can have an idea about the discussions of open sources and stuff. Yeah, I do have some thoughts on it, but I don't know if you want to start.
You can start out. I'll come to some things.
Yeah. So two things that I thought when I was reading about this topic was one, the thing about the tactics, how you get free stuff and such in a world that it's not supposed to, things are not necessarily free. And when they are labeled free is because you are selling your soul in return. Yeah, like what everybody knows, Google, nothing new. Okay, so going back, so one of the things are the tactics that this, I think we can, I would be happy to talk about it. And the other thing, and you, it's funny that you mentioned the difference between Europe and here. And for me, when I think about free stuff here in the US, I think, of course, about the difference, what it means in the place I'm from. Like, I'll given, and it's not anarchist necessarily, but I think it has to do, because we don't have the amount of stuff people have give away here, we have a different relationship in general with the stuff we've had. A small story, non-anarchistic, like when we move houses in the place where I'm from, you take everything. Like, you don't leave, if somebody would tell like that here in the US people leave fridge and stove and all that, they would say, you're fucking crazy. How are you going to acquire all these things again? You know, because things are not like, there is something here about consumerism that is much in a level that it's unimaginable for a middle class to down. I'm sure upper classes where I'm from are very familiar with that. But if you're middle class down, this is not part of your life. And so every time you have something for free, you don't put it on the curb that it maybe somebody will or will not take. You, first of all, people tend to take, or at least in the past, I have not been there for a little while, but tend to take very good care of their stuff. And you learn how to fix stuff. And you, when you can't, there are people who fix them. Like, you don't just are going to acquire new stuff, except for phones. For some fucking reason, people love to get new phones as soon as they come out, even if it's like 3 times their payment, their monthly payment. Anyway, but the thing is, so when you don't want something, the first thing you do is like, you ask your friends if they want that or if they know somebody who wants that. You just don't throw it away. So there is this free circulation that I understand it's more, it's closer to an anarchist one, because it's not about, oh, it's free, let's throw it, consumer, because I want a new one. It's, you are very careful, and you also, when somebody needs something, like, somebody either lost their things or they are starting a new life or something, we ask things like, who has this, who has that, and people, everybody like can help with some little thing. Like, when I lived there, my house had very little new things. They were most things that was somebody else's thing at some point. So this is one thing, and I think that's kind of closer to the way that anarchists deal, even here in the US, deal with free stuff. But I was also shocked when I came here the first time, and like, people are moving out, and I lived in a college town, and like, students give like all the things, and it was just like mind-blowing for me. But anyway, so this was one thing, like, thinking about the difference, like you mentioned, the difference between being in Europe and being here, and I was thinking about the difference between being here and being a third world country. Then I'm sure the experiences are very similar in the different third world countries around the world. I can keep going.
I mean, yeah, whatever you like. I think, yeah, shoot, go on.
No, the only other thing, the other thing that I was thinking of was about the tactics, as you mentioned before. That's also different here and the place where I'm from, and different in various ways. As an example, like, where I'm come from, you don't have to worry too much if you don't have health insurance, because there is universal health. Of course, you can ask, like, but is it good? Is it not? And of course, you have some crappy things and some other places that will treat you well. And also, it depends on what region in the country, and it depends, some the nice neighborhoods, even though like the people with money don't use this service, they tend to be better service. And also there are differences in how people will treat you, depending on your skin color, depending on your accent, because third world country also have issues with different accents sometimes. Like, if you're not a tourist, you might not be as well taken care of, but anyway, or depend if you, and don't want to go there.
Getting healthcare in your country as a tourist is wild, because the healthcare in your country is built around having a social security number, unlike here. If you don't have one, it is a maze.
I mean, you... what do you mean? I think I... Because you can actually use health...
It's fine. We can move on. It has nothing to do with free stuff.
Okay. Yeah, but by free stuff here, I mean... And it's also free in quotations because it's government... Not government... Sorry, my mistake. Absolutely not government subsidized. It's people subsidized because people are paying for it. So that's always something good to remember, that it, not from a capitalist or liberal perspective, but it's like the things that are quote-unquote free, that people are paying for it. The government has nothing, like, besides... using everybody else's money. But so there is that, and I was talking about the tactics.
Yeah, we can go to tactics. Yeah,
because oh right, the difference. I was talking about the difference, and I got lost on the service because yes, in
you
the,
can get back on track.
Yes, because in third world countries, a lot of times you have public health care that you don't have here. But you don't have other I got lost. I forgot what I wanted to tell, so let's just move on. Please step in.
Okay. I think you hit on some things that I think about when I think about free stuff. I mean, to me, free stuff is stuff, right? And a lot of times when you and I talk about different organizing models or visions for our organizing, I am a very stuff-based person. I think free food is very important. I think free housing and free, you know, other things are super important. And if you can provide those things or help people provide those things for themselves, then, you know, that's the basis. People organize around their material needs. So, yeah, I mean, when I got into anarchism, a lot of our programs ran both distributing free stuff and also ran on free stuff, right? So there was a robust, really, really free market in my town that had been around for years and is still running today. And yeah, the excesses of the middle and upper middle class and upper class in our town were organized into a public giveaway. That was fantastic. And then we used that, we built on that to have free food there. I managed a book table, so I would gather the books and bring them three times. So there were free books, the free haircuts, all kinds of free stuff. And so people could actually come there as a festival and also to, you know, pick up their stuff from the giant zine table or see an anarchist puppet show or whatever. But also they could come there and get groceries that could last all week. They could get new clothing there. They could get electronics there. Like, they could get stuff that was going to impact their life in meaningful ways. And yeah, I think especially as things get tighter and people's like hierarchy of needs with food and things like that at the bottom get a little tighter, I think free stuff is as important as ever, you know? And then also similarly, like, projects run on free stuff a lot of the time. I was in a touring group where a lot of the funding for that group came from zines that we distributed on tour. And the zines were sliding scale by donation or whatever, but we got them for free, and that meant that they were 100% profit and would literally pull $30 to $50 a night oftentimes distributing zines that we had simply not paid for. And so, you know, in that case, distributing free stuff is not the thing. The getting of free stuff is the thing. And I've seen a lot of that. Free stuff greases the gears in any project, because it lifts the burden of fundraising, honestly. I mean, sometimes fundraising is hard, sometimes fundraising is easy, but like free stuff always makes things easier, right? If you're trying to figure out how to distribute foot care first aid packs to homeless people in your town, or if you're trying to just like throw a giant feast every month in order to like make sure that everyone in a certain milieu is meeting face to face regularly, like not having to figure out how to pay for those things is fantastic, and lifts one of the major burdens. You know, in the 60s and 70s in this country, and most countries, I think, like one of the ways that people would oftentimes get busted was robbing banks. Cause like you need, like shit costs money, right? Like if you need houses, if you need food, whatever it is, it costs money.
Or work.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like free stuff is almost always work, right? Yeah. Whether you're shoplifting or dumpster diving or running a community garden or whatever the thing is. I mean, yeah, it's work, but it hits different, you know? Unless you've got a really good paying job, it hits different. Some of us did hit a tipping point at one point where our fundraising events were pulling so little that we realized it would be much easier to just donate our own time from our own paychecks. That was kind of a bummer of a day. But anyway, I think, again, like free stuff and the ability to get free stuff in different places, it greases the wheels on everything. Like anarchist projects, but also like entirely non-anarchist projects that I've pursued in my life. So like I got a job where I had to travel a lot, and that job paid sub minimum wage for the first period because it was essentially like a series of internships. And I think most people would have had a really hard time doing that. And the way that I had learned through all my anarchist years to live meant that, yeah, you could drop me basically anywhere in the country and it cost me a few dollars a week to exist. And so I could move around and do that until that became like a real job that actually paid real wages. I pursued a creative endeavor at one point that was taking a lot of my time and again included touring, separate from my old project. And once again, like, yeah, being able to get free shit really greased the gears on that, where it was like, okay, you can work, you know, a minimal number of hours that just... I can't see what you're writing.
I'm writing for myself.
Oh, okay. that really greased, like, yeah, just made everything easier, you know? And particularly, like, dumpster diving and shoplifting means that you're not tied down to a place. So, you know, if you want to go do something for a few months in another state, you don't need to save up to be able to cover all your costs if you know how to sleep on rooftops and under bridges and just get your food, however. So, yeah, I think free stuff is everything. You know, I think the ability to provide people free stuff or help them provide free stuff for themselves, and the ability to have free stuff available to you when you're trying to do things. I mean, that's like the whole difference between being like rich and poor. Well, not the whole difference, but a huge difference between being rich and poor as a kid is that basically if you're rich, there's just a funnel of free stuff to you, right? It's coming from your parents or your family or whatever. And it sets you up for an entirely different life and opens everything for you, you know? And so, yeah, I think free stuff is free stuff is opportunities, even, you know. So I don't know.
I like one thing that you brought, and I do not agree with you, like about the rich people having free, and they have a fucking stupid life, and they are bored, and that's anyway. Doesn't matter. The point one, I remember what I was saying, and I'll try to make the bridge at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find very interesting, what you were saying, and I think that it's not so much about, it might sound the same, but I think it's not so much about free stuff, but it's more about like how anarchists and punks, they try to make their way, like not depending on money necessarily. And you do that like, yeah, by work, by scheming things, or by knowing people. Because I remember also like one of the times that I came here, I had no money, like even to pay the ticket, but I had a friend that had the money for the ticket, and I could borrow this money and pay him later on. And I also had friends who lived here who I could like stay with them and rotate, and until I find myself a way of staying more, to be more settled. And also, and that's one thing that I remember now, what I was talking about, the health thing in my country, just because I was, remember how, like, what interested me is that, like, as an example, Berkeley has a free clinic that was at some point much more robust and more could help more people and stuff, but it still exists. I got once my glasses there, you know, my eye exam and my glasses, and I did not, of course, that's not about being free, but how people manage to do things and create things, and it has to do like knowing people. And sometimes, yes, like asking for some money, but you make it, you don't need like a government structure or anything, or you don't need like necessarily a company, or you don't need neither the private sector and you don't need the government. I mean, a lot of people have funds from both these things, but that's not, I just think that for anarchists, it has to do a lot of this creativity of trying to find out solutions for the things, the issues that everyone has without having to depend on money. And this way you are also not necessarily depending on have a regular job or anything like this. So yeah, I think the free stuff is pretty cool. I'm also interested in the experience that are not necessarily stuff, but are these other things, health things, or housing with squats, or any other, even like the haircut stuff, you know? And yeah, and it has to do with you creating kind of a network of people, or a space where people can come and go and do these things. What I was trying to say was about these different I was thinking about the tactics and thinking about the different things in different places, like in places where universal healthcare exists, you have very little experience of like a free clinic or something, but you also have some of these things, especially like where I come from, like abortion is illegal most of the cases, and you have like a huge network that sometimes work through money, which sucks, but also sometimes it's just people like that things that people with an uterus deserve to be able to decide what they want to do with their body when they get pregnant, and they just help. And these are like doctors, nurses, and yes, some of them are behind the money, but some of them are not. And I like this experience when you try to do something that you don't need necessarily. And yeah, I would like to see more of this experience, like I would like at some point to do maybe a cultural center that had a space for all of the, you know, like somebody who could help you at least in the first. And I've seen that happening, like in some gatherings and stuff, that you can, but it also easier because it's for a short amount of time. Anyway, but yeah, so there are, I'm usually very good in finding official ways of getting free stuff in places. Yeah, I don't do as much the unofficial ways, I would say. I mean, here and there that I'm not going to undisclose here, but mostly just finding like what your local library can provide you, or what there are some, and they are sometimes religious, but not necessarily creepy. Those are the ones that, besides the free clinic that I saw, that sometimes offer free health support. Yeah, so I'm usually good at going after this stuff. But that's not the point. The point was how anarchists used to create those things more and how we are not doing that so much.
Yeah, I liked one of the comments that said that the idea that we're not doing really, really free markets and stuff a lot is an internet idea, and that person is familiar with them all over the place. I definitely know that the city I live in has 3 Food Not Bombs chapters that are all well organized in a variety of Signal group chats with each other. So yeah, that does not reflect my lived experience either. And I also think that, yeah, the rise of things like mutual aid projects, although a lot of the mutual aid projects are like just people shuffling, like people with very little money shuffling it around over and over again to help each other, which is like super cool, but is not free stuff, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think bigger here, like something like the free clinic. Yes, of course, and that thing of people trying to help each other, and also like even with housing, like sometimes we have friends that come, so there is this person, they need housing for at least some time, would you be able to help? And then if you have a place, you help, if you don't, you anyway, so there, all these things are happening, like, and it's not bad the way it happens. And like when somebody needs some furniture or clothes or even help with health stuff, it's all circulating, like in, but I'm also interested, I think what we don't see anymore, and maybe that's, I mean, Food Not Bombs there and with the food stuff,
but with food, with medical supplies, and with both hot food and groceries. I know the ones, one of the ones used to do a lot of clothing, socks and stuff like that. I mean, like, it was robust. It was impressive when I went.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it is this thing of, like, creating a free clinic or the really, really free. I think for me it's something more connected with a space, and it might be just like my personal issue and I need to get over it. Probably that's the case, but yeah, or maybe I just want to learn more about, yeah, how it would be. Unfortunately, like in the comments there was not a lot of people sharing this experience. That would be great.
Yeah. Well, like one of our Food Not Bombs chapters serves in front of the anarchist bookstore, which also has like a free food cabinet directly in front of it. So like in that case, it's attached to a space.
Yes, it is true.
Yeah. And I think we have free resources in our city regarding like some like sexual health care as well.
Yes.
That's like NGO oriented, not just governmental stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's here in the US there's a lot of NGOs that deals with this free stuff, but it's not necessarily anarchist.
Right. Well, no. Okay. So yeah, that's another thing we can move to in the article is, a lot of free stuff does not necessarily identify as anarchist, and anarchists don't necessarily talk about it a whole lot. A lot of the free software, a lot of the free, I don't remember what else was in there, like just file sharing kind of stuff is less anarchist coded now than like it used to be, where like Pirate Bay used to be very anarchist coded. I think part of that is that a lot of, and maybe I'm just like shooting in the dark or thinking of a benefit of it not being as anarchist coded, is that a lot of the online free stuff has a real like network effect, where the more people you can get to use it, the better it functions. And so kind of having it operate as a less branded item can be good, you know?
Yeah.
Signal, you know, for years was kind of a thing for like basically anarchists and drug dealers and maybe like tech nerds. And now like people all over the US use it very regularly.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Even outside the US, people are starting to use it more and more. It's funny.
Yeah. I think as WhatsApp becomes less, as people find out the ways in which WhatsApp is less and less secure, Signal will become more and more popular. And again, that's like, and like started as like a relatively explicitly anarchist project.
Yeah. I don't, just a parenthesis, I don't think it has to do with people thinking that WhatsApp is less and less secure. It has to do with how many people, like it has to do with network, because something is useless if other people don't use. And the reason why WhatsApp is so popular outside is because everybody uses.
Yeah.
And so like what I've seen, it's like with Signal, it's like people, like alternative people, anarchist people, they are starting because probably they had some connection in some way, direct or indirect, with people here in the US, so you start creating like a network on that too, and it might or might not reach like a bigger crowd, but it's not, I don't think it's because people are very clear, or not everyone, but a lot of anarchists have it very clear that anarchist is not that internet is not a space that you circulate free, and a lot of anarchists don't have this illusion that you can exchange things on internet without being traced or anything.
Yeah, I think it's definitely viewed as a suboptimal thing, and people are definitely like past the point where they're fetishizing it. But yeah, I mean, as far as circulating texts goes, you know, if you're not circulating your text online, you're definitely reaching a much smaller niche of people, you know, which can be fine.
I'm just saying that's intimate. It's not so much the secure part that's making it go outside, I think. Because people are very aware of this for a long time.
I'm talking about documents and stuff now. I didn't think we were talking about Signal for ages now.
Okay.
Yeah, and why it spreads is not, like, whether or not it spreads for security purposes or just because it's cool, it's not. Okay. So I think if you're spreading documents or whatever, like, I had a friend for a while where was uploading books to some similar to the Pirate Bay kind of a site, you know, and just, like, finding old books and getting them uploaded. So that they were, you know, the historic anarchist library, you know, was available. I mean, anarchist library is a great example of something like that.
Yeah.
And there's like repositories for books that are not anarchist at all. So I think in that way, you know, those things are cool. It's true that they're not super anarchist coded. I think part of that is like, if you don't code it super anarchist, you can get libs and libertarians and other nerds to do most of the back end work for it, you know? No, I'm serious. You know what I mean? Like, Wikipedia is very cool. I know it's, and if it was anarchist coded, it would collapse overnight because it's a lot of fucking work to keep that thing running, you know? And similarly, yeah, I would say a lot of like different file sharing programs and stuff. If anarchists had to run all of them because we insisted on having the branding be that, I think we would be using inferior ones at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. Wikipedia always had a bad rep for me and for the people I...
Yes, I know. Someone said something bad about your group on there.
No, that's not it. It's just like it's not reliable, and a lot of information there is not reliable, and the way you can quote or not quote or use a source or not, it's just not reliable. So I end up preferring. I mean, yeah, it can give you a tip. You cannot use it as a reliable source, but you can use it as some way to encounter other stuff and to check information that, it can be useful, but it's not just Wikipedia by itself. It's not reliable.
Fair enough. But I guess my point is just that if it were branded anarchist, then anarchists would have to do all the back-end stuff for it.
Yep.
And so having things like that not branded anarchist, I think...
Yeah, but also some anarchists like to do that, so... Let the ones that like do it.
Yeah, but... Okay. Moving on.
Yep. I don't have much more to add. I think if I was going to add something... Do you have something?
No, I think I hit on all my main points. It's just that, especially things, people need certain things to live, and helping to get those things for free and teaching people how to get those things for free is really, meeting folks at their material level. And as, I know lots of people on this site aren't organizationalist or whatever, but, that's the kind of stuff that I'm into. And so for me, definitely the free stuff... Is I mean, you know me.
It's not necessarily organizationalist.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that's the way in which free stuff is interesting to me. I mean, you know, I also use free stuff as for several individual pursuits, all the time. I'm just saying, in discussion, those are the ways in which it's interesting to me.
Yes. If I was if you don't have a, always, of course, always ask your network of people, but people who have a network of people know that, but people who don't, always look in your anarchist bookstore. They know a lot of resources, always, always, always. And your public library, you would be surprised of knowing that sometimes they do have good resources, and when they don't, they actually know, or they know how to look for it and they find it. So anarchist info shops, bookstores, and just public libraries. Go for it.
Yep. All right, is that a wrap?
Yep.
All right. Donnie fucking don't.
And Chi Chi.
Signing out.
This week's podcast was sound edited by Rosamonte. The What's New was written by Chisel and read by Chisel and...
Clipper Ships.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarcho-curious.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.